was us sitting in a dining room conservatory, looking out on our brand new shed.
I know, it's a thrill for you, isn't it? Not that it's not for me, but you know.
Well, it means we've got
men
all this,
sheds.
It does mean we've got all this space. You don't have tools sitting around all over the place and
no.
in the dining room.
No.
Now they're sort of stashed in the shed.
Mm, yeah.
It just means you're gonna have to go out and waterproof it and paint it and seal it and things like that.
When it stops raining.
It stopped raining now, that's why we're able to do it. Because we're in our conservatory with that sort of plastic roof.
I know.
It always sounds like we're on a caravan holiday when it's raining in here, doesn't it?
It's like being in North Wales.
Yeah, it is. I think this is episode 32.
Yes, we had a lovely chat with the indomitable Val Stevens, a splendid woman who's been a Labour councillor like forever, originally in Manchester and then here, and she talks about where she's lived and her experiences, and it's fantastic.
She's lovely, isn't she? I mean, you know her quite well. From various things you're both involved in.
We both try and put the world right.
Yes, and if the world doesn't sort itself out, then it's going to have to face Val Stevens. Good luck, world.
Yes, and it was a lovely chat, and thanks, Val.
Yeah, and I suppose we should just listen to her then.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're sitting here in a lovely flat in Mytham Royd talking to Val Stevens, who is, she's done everything, Val, don't mind me saying, has fitted a lot into her life so far, being a city councillor in Manchester, lived in France, come to the Calder Valley, been the mayor here, and is very involved in, and always has been, in local politics. So, Val, hello.
Hello, lovely to see you both.
Thank you, and thanks for the brew. So, what?
It's obligatory in Manchester.
Yes.
I don't know about here, but in Manchester, it's obligatory.
I think in the north of England generally.
Yeah, I think so.
You wouldn't get away with it.
If you've seen the Happy Valley programme, the most common phrase used is, shall I put the kettle on?
Yeah. Don't put the kettle on, our Catherine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what brought you, start where you like, but as it's Real Voices of Happy Valley, which is our podcast, we look at people who live in the valley, what brought them here, how they like it.
Well, you mentioned that I lived in France. When I retired from the city council, and it was particularly stressful because I was deputy leader, so you can imagine a whole raft of things.
What era are we looking at here when you were on the council?
No, it was when I retired from the council. I was very pleased, and I retired to France and thought that was my life. That was my life sorted, because I'd lived in suburban, urban areas all my life, and I just wanted to live where I could see the sky meet green.
Oh, right, that's a nice way to put it, yeah.
And that's why I went to France. I lived in a beautiful little valley, and then Brexit broke that dream for me, but I got so used
to... Did you live on your own in France?
I lived on my own in France. People said you're mad. But there were mainly people who don't make friends easily. I've still got some friends there now. And I had friends who had a holiday home in the same village, which was why I went to that village. I mean, what can you say when you live in a little village house in a village with two chateaux, and your house butts onto the rock the chateau is on, and 2 minutes away is the river that joins in with the Dordogne. You know, and you think to yourself, well, this is where I really want to be. But things change, as we know. The Brexit vote made it more difficult for British at the time. I did, could have been a French citizen, but I thought I'm too old to change my citizenship now, and decided to come back, which was fortunate, because now I didn't have grandchildren. I'm a late grandma.
Right.
Very late grandma, but both my children are in their 40s, and I've now got grandchildren. So in a way, it was fortuitous, because I was already here when they were born, so, and that's been a real delight, as you can imagine.
Maybe they were waiting for you to get here for them to be born.
Well, maybe, yeah. I don't know. My children have hence never moved very far from Chawton in Manchester, and they still live in Stretford now.
it's just next door anyway.
It's Chawton Overspill or accessible housing price place, or better than Chawton now. And I knew about the upper, and I wanted to live somewhere. I wanted to live somewhere that I want to say replicated France, because I don't think Yorkshire replicates France in any significant way. But in terms of access to green space, but not isolated. And I looked around some of the, and I couldn't afford some of the places that were Greater Manchester. And I looked around, and I knew this area. I think a lot of people know this area, and thought, right, I'll give that a go, and rented somewhere up at Cragvale to see what it was like, and then moved down here into the valley, you know. And I've enjoyed it ever since.
So when was that? When did you move into your flat here?
I moved into the flat. I moved back to the UK in 2016, and then I moved in here November 2017.
Right, so yeah, 7 years.
I'm surprised that it's 7 years, because it just seems as though I'm new here. But time marches on, as we all know, don't we?
Yeah, but too fast sometimes.
But I find it really nice. I overlook the Rochdale Canal. A friend of mine who was the chief exec of Rochdale, but before that, when she was in Manchester, she was very much involved with the Rochdale Canal Trust, and was always telling me about how they wanted to dig it out and make it more, because in the Manchester end of Rochdale Canal had been not so much culverted, but had made... made it shallow, so it wasn't operating as a canal. And she was very active in doing that. So I knew the history of the Rochdale Canal from Fran.
And from the other end.
One of the councillors from that area, I think Miles Platting or some, nobody will know where that is. I don't think people in Manchester know where Miles Platting is. But they...
He's a very nice man.
Exactly.
He lives next door to Newton Heath.
Exactly. I used to sit next to him, this old guy. I used to sit next to him in council, and he was going on about canals, and I was saying... And he was saying, so the water's only like 2 inches deep when it runs through your bit of Manchester. And he said, that's so the kids won't drown. I said, teach them to swim. I said, kids won't drown. I said, I used to walk along the Bridgewater Canal when I was a kid, and we had no intention of drowning or going in it. Because, as my mother said at the time, and if you ever fall in there, you'll get typhoid.
Or jumping into a really tiny bit of water is dangerous. We saw someone do it, didn't we, in Hebden Bridge riverside festivals. And he stood on the bridge, you know, by the picture house and everything, jumped into the canal, and people were horrified. They said, it's only about 6 inches deep.
No, it's about 3 or 4 feet deep.
Jumping from a height, he broke his legs.
Probably what you would do.
I
can't understand, but I suppose... I know it happens, but people doing that, I can't understand.
No, well...
It's like when someone said that we're going to take down a stand of laburnum trees, which are beautiful, beautiful, take a stand down because kids might poison themselves. I said, well... parents tell their kids, don't eat them.
I know, yeah.
I had no intention of ever eating a laburnum pod, ever in my life.
I think to jump off a bridge into the canal, you have to have had the same substances that this young man had earlier in the day.
Well, they still fall in the canal.
People fall in,
When people fall in, but generally, it's usually later at night after a jar. I was surprised when I did the physical environment portfolio brief in Manchester, and we did a whole water quality thing, which is still very pertinent now.
Water quality,
particularly as the Calder has got a particular black mark. And not all that long ago, when I was surprised to find out from the Environment Agency that they said that the canals were better water, they saw some of them, better water quality than the rivers. At that time, you know, like in the late 1990s, because I've been up Rochdale area and seen black gunge being pumped into rivers. It's awful. It's one of the big things that I'm particularly keen on is the environment, because of what it does to all the flora and fauna that are supposed to live there. It's their home.
Yeah,
and we're wrecking it systematically.
A lot of us think we don't have the right to do that. Who gives us the right to do that? You know, but it's money, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
exactly. Well, it's a lot cheaper to build to pump stuff out into a water source than it is to build a proper filtration plant.
So, is that one of your campaigning point? I mean, are you still active as a councillor?
No, I retired last year because I said I'd done overtime.
Yeah.
I was in extra time.
Yeah.
And I didn't really. I was asked whether I'd stand, and I said, are you sure? Haven't you got anybody a bit younger? And they said, we think we're okay, Val. I said, all right, okay. Let me know, but I'll do it as a paper candidate, that for people to know. A paper candidate is someone who just puts the name on, but no expectation of winning. And then I won.
Isn't it just the way?
and because town councils are voting in 4-year blocks, I'm not one to stand down in a term. Mm-hmm. So I did the term. Really, I only wanted to do a couple of years, but I did four.
You've already done 20-odd years as a city councillor in Manchester.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And town council's a different kettle of fish.
What differences did you find going from one to the other? And
well, one different status, a different status, because, you know, it's attached to parish councils, and I think you can call them parish councils or town councils, depending. But a different status about how it's run. Because the mayor can act is equivalent to the chair,
right?
In cities generally, and in districts, the mayor is wholly does the glad hand in, is wholly a representative and doesn't have any power and don't have any powers. Whereas the mayor in town councils is, it's like the chair. You can either be a chair, you can opt to have a mayor or a chair. Or chairman if you're in a Tory area. Along with the town clerk, are really the structure. And that was interesting. I remember somebody telling me when I first went on, we're not certain that you quite understand how parish councils run, Val. I said, all right. but that, I mean, obviously the obvious thing is that the very few services. I mean, obviously, a reasonable district council has a whole range of services to deliver.
So, for those listening, a parish council or town council is what's in Hebden Bridge and surrounding small areas.
Yeah.
The district council is what's in Halifax and in Calderdale. And oversees things. Although Hebden Bridge Council does have the picture house, which is quite a remarkable thing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
All the time that I've been a representative, I've always, my time in politics over the years, I have seen many politicians come and go, as you can imagine. And I divide them into two.
Right.
Those people who want to be things and those people who want to do things.
That's a good division.
And they don't, sometimes there's an overlap, sometimes there isn't. Because if you're wanting to be things, you have to adopt a different approach to politics than if you want to do things. Because, you know, it's like anybody who's ambitious. If you're ambitious, you have to play a different game. And I've always tried to think, well, if I'm going to do this, what at the end of my term of office, what do I want to see?
Yeah.
In that I've made a difference.
Mm.
What can I say that, that if I hadn't have been here, wouldn't have happened? And I've tried to do that wherever I've done. It was very unfortunate for me, my very first election in Manchester was in Longsight. Mm. And there was nearly the whole housing area was what they call housing action areas. So people were being decanted while the houses were being modernised.
So
you never quite knew where anybody was anyway.
Mm.
And it was also a time when there was a big decanting from one of the massive housing estates in Hume, where those people had the right. It was to take people from being in deck access to make them in lower housing, and they were higher up the housing list. And the whole time I was there, I only got one person rehoused alongside. And I counted that as a success because I don't think
she was the only one.
She was the only one because the people from Hume had more than what they call it on the old point housing point system, whatever they do now, I don't know.
Yeah.
The people from the decant had more.
Mm.
And I used to have to tell people, would you mind going up to Hattersley from Longsight? And they say, where is it? I said, don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, not
Gainsley is a place I don't know. All the overspills.
It is a long way away.
But I want to live near my mother because I've got two kids.
All that.
It was a real introduction to the reality of what can be done and what can't be done.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that when you were mayor of Hebden Royd, your charity was old people's welfare. Yeah.
One of the things that I was very much involved with as I got older was campaigning to change people's attitude to the provision for older people from the social services health model, where older people were either to be ignored because they're old, or they're to be looked after because they're frail.
Right. Yeah.
Which is very much an old social services attitude. And me and another councillor, 20-odd years ago, we said, no, this has to change because it's an ageing population.
Mm.
We all know it's an ageing population. It might not seem so to your listeners, but I'm part of what is the silent generation, which is the generation that just preceded the boomers.
Mm.
And I've not met anyone that I know in my generation who is silent, so I don't want that. Did
you get that term?
I know.
It could be silenced with a D on the end.
Because you've got all these X's and Z's and God knows what.
Yeah. We're boomers ourselves, aren't we?
I'm just a pre-boomer. And we said, no, this has to... That nobody's thinking about this, about what does this mean... We need to stop age stereotyping.
Mm.
We need to enable, training. When there was the mass unemployment that came around in the early 80s, training, upskilling people who would be made redundant or whatever in the early 80s, who might be in the early 50s, the training scheme's finished.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were virtually on the dole or on benefits till they got the pension, which is a complete waste of resources. The whole raft of things that fit into that. But we said this is a policy issue. It's not a social services issue.
Mm.
And we need to look at older people in a different way.
Yeah.
Because older people are part of the community and contribute to the community well into older age.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's we started something called Valuing Older People, which subsequently morphed into Age Friendly. I then was able, when I came here, I thought, what shall I do? I'll get Hebden Royd to be is an age friendly town council. It's only three in the country.
Mm.
And I also persuaded Calderdale to be age friendly.
Right. Well done.
They've now committed to age friendly. And the day that one of the things that we did was from the old people's welfare, we took on over the policy development element.
Mm.
You have to be an age friendly community, you've got to have support of local authority. And Hebden Royd Town Council, I'm glad to say, supports us. And we're running a day tomorrow.
All right.
At Hebden Town Hall, which is for older people to come along, and what we've had discussions with Calderdale, so that we can organise older people to be sort of part of a panel or sounding board when issues come up, so there could be a voice for the Upper Valley for older people.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of the day. How many people turn up, I don't know, but we will carry it, we will persevere, and that's what the day is tomorrow.
They will be real voices of Happy Valley.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Your policy is pretty much the same as our podcast policy.
Yeah, that's real people.
So when issues come up, you know, like a new housing policy or care policy, I don't, whatever.
Mm.
And it's really to remind Calderdale that of all that, whenever they're making decisions that's about developmental ones or service delivery, have you factored in what older people think about this?
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
And the point is what we, I'm just saying we now, you know, because I am part of that, you know, generation. But what we think, not what people think is best for us, but what we think.
Exactly.
And the experiences and skills that older people have.
Yes. Developed.
I mean, I think one of the issues we've got is there's so many active older people in this part of the world, is that they don't consider that they consider that they're doing stuff for older people.
Yeah. Well, my friend's dad was like that. Do you remember old Joe, Barbara's dad? Oh, yeah. He was well into his 80s, and he used to play the organ. And he said, oh, I've got a gig tonight at, you know, wherever it was, playing for the old folk. I thought, most of them are probably younger than you, Joe. But that's, you know, how he saw himself, wasn't it? Oh, I've got to do it for the old folk. They get lonely, you know. And he was lonely. And, you know, he did end up going to from Merseyside to the Isle of Wight to be near his daughter. And had a great time there, didn't he? Soon became very well known. Yeah.
Well, I think he started playing the organ for old people in the Isle of Wight.
I think he did.
Well, when I was first elected, I went round. One of the things I've generally done is go round all the places where people are, you know, in a ward, in an electoral ward.
Physically go round.
And I went round the care homes. This would be in the late 70s. I went around the care homes and talked to them. And it's being a politician, it's also to make sure, because the manager knows which political party you're from, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean, it's called politics. but also to say, are there any issues with people here, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
And there were more people then, of course. Now I've been in care homes, and there's more and more people with dementia, whereas people who are don't have mobility issues generally are at home now. They're not in care homes as a general. That's a very broad generalisation, but
it makes it difficult
for dialogue. And one manager said to me, Paul Valley said, we could do with some entertainment. He said, it's very nice, the kids coming in and singing carols, but we'd really like a bit of a party. People here like a bit of a party. So I mentioned this to my husband, who told me he could play the piano.
Your husband told you?
My husband told me.
Right, okay.
And so I said, right, well, you get a couple of your friends from who are involved in amateur dramatics and can sing a bit, and you could play. And then he confessed, because we had, what, you know, those big organ, you know, those big electric organs you have. Now they're like the size of a phone now, aren't they? But they're those great big things. And he said, I can't really play. I said, well, you told me you could play. I've now booked you in to do an old time musical gig at the
What did he do?
So you better learn quick, right?
I said, so you better learn something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they went down there, and the manager organised, it was a Christmas do, and they organised a sing-along and an old-time thing. They got dressed up in, you know, in old-time musical gear and all that carry-on.
Like the good old days.
It was like the good old days. And the manager set up a bar, and they all had a whale of a time. But the only problem for me was that the word got round the care sector.
Right, yeah.
And my husband was doing up to about 28 gigs before Christmas because people, and because it was because people didn't understand that just because you're in a care home doesn't mean to say you want to listen to records of Vera Lynn or you want to just listen to somebody who comes and plays something on the guitar for 5 minutes. You know? They wanted a party.
Yeah.
And they had, and he went all over the shop doing that. He went to one which was a psycho geriatric unit.
Mm.
And the only people who were singing the words with them, you know, they do like a sing-along.
Mm.
And the only people who knew the words were the staff. And he said, but you know, we don't think we're actually doing the value. And the manager said, and I think this is something that's been borne out by research probably at the time and since, about how music brings people together, and particularly people who maybe, you know, in the foothills of dementia or having dementia, that music is something that is retained, that sound is something that's retained in a way that other things aren't.
Speech, maybe.
And speech and whatever. And she said, everybody is much happier, the much happier when you've been, because they've been part of a community activity.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen, there's been various research done about, well, we've seen a lot of the stuff that's been done since about setting up choirs in the workplace and all that. There's something very,
yeah, we know.
Something very community-based about actively singing with other people.
We know a few people who've, and including professional musicians who've done that before they were professionals, gone into care homes and things. And the audience is so appreciative.
I don't know if you ever saw...
And all the research does show that.
There was I don't know if it was a couple of programmes or just one, but it was Dennis Skinner going to see his mother who was in a care home. And he's got a really good voice. And he was singing like old Frank Sinatra things for her and the other people in there. And they absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he took her out anywhere, there was him and his brother would sit with her in the car singing these things.
Exactly.
And it just brought so much joy to all of them, you know, to Dennis Skinner and his brother as well.
I don't know what your audience might think of this, but one of the funny perhaps isn't the right word, but what was that they went to they arrived at this home, and as they arrived, they were bringing a coffin down the stairs.
Oh.
And they said to the manager, is this appropriate? She said, and the manager said, yes, get on with it. They've all been waiting for this.
Probably doing it more than
More or less, if we stopped doing things every time there was a coffin coming down the stairs, we wouldn't do this.
Occupational hazard.
But it's about sort of saying, look, that my aunt couldn't speak, couldn't look after herself physically in any way, shape or form. And my sister and I used to visit her, and there was no communication at all. But what we did with the staff there, we put photos of her as a younger woman.
Yes.
We put photos. This is who this is.
So
this
people know her not just as an old woman who's lying in a bed or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. It's to build back that respect, because it's about respect in the end, isn't it?
When I went to the hospital to see my mum, I told the nurse about how my mum had campaigned for women to get the pill and had done medical trials for it. You know, I wanted her to see that this was a campaigning woman who cared about stuff, and so many older people aren't they? You know. Yeah. Need to get that across.
When you think about this as a stereotype, one of the facts that the Centre for Ageing has put out, they said, how many people do you think are in a care home? How many older people? And it's only 2.5%. So that's a very small proportion, which means vast numbers of older people are living in the community, living active, whatever, doing what they're doing.
Well, I think we'll have to wrap up there, but from a person from the silent generation, Val. You've given us plenty to go on. So thanks very much.
You're very welcome. if you'd have another second on there, I said, when I started in politics, I was campaigning for childcare, and I ended my term putting old care for old people.